there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
And I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, I'm here with Executive Director Brandon Hillbrandt and the new Projects and Outreach Coordinator, Marie Huberger, from the North Sanium Watershed Council in Marion and Linn counties. In today's episode, we finally shine a spotlight on the North Sanium Watershed Council, a vital organization dedicated to riparian restoration and safeguarding our drinking water in Salem. I'm honored to have them join me today in the podcast, so big welcome to you, Brandon and Marie.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, I'm Brandon. I'm with the North Sanium Watershed Council, Executive Director, and I came into the role about 2 years ago, coming up on 2 years this winter. Prior to this position, I was involved with the Watershed Council as a technical advisor through the City of Salem's Public Work Department. I was in a position with their watershed program, and that involved a lot of water quality monitoring, harmful algal bloom monitoring, and looking at source water protection component for Salem's drinking water, but got to be involved with a lot of the partnering and support that the Watershed Council did. I moved to Salem, Oregon in 2016 from Colorado, but I'm originally from Virginia, came out west about 15 years ago. So I went to school in Colorado, went to Colorado State and graduated in 2010, and have worked in some really neat places since then, including Death Valley National Park and Mesa Verde National Park. But I also got to be an adjunct faculty in Las Vegas for a geography department. So I've just done a lot of variety of skill sets. I'm excited to be here and involved with the community. And I think really like what I love about this position is, and this organization is really just getting folks, you know, in the community, individuals involved in building a better future for, you know, our families, as well as the area that surrounds us, so the lands and the rivers.
I'll go next. So I'm Marie. I'm the Projects and Outreach Coordinator, and I just stepped into this role in September. But before this, I worked for both the North and the South Sanium Watershed Councils, focusing on fire recovery and preparedness work. And this was actually like pretty different. I went to school for fisheries. My love for conservation kind of started with working at a local fish hatchery, a private fish hatchery, and getting to see how salmon start from start to finish. But yeah, I'm super excited to, in this new role, just continue to help with post-fire recovery, which is super fulfilling, and getting to help out with other projects that focus getting more native plants on the land and restoring the river. I get to work with the community, and having grown up in the area, I feel super special. My family, lots of loggers and farmers, and seeing how they've cared for the land is kind of a part of what got me into conservation in the first place. Feels like a real privilege to get to work where I grew up and get to carry out that tradition in a different way.
So can you go into what is a watershed council for anyone who's listening who might not even know what that is, and how do they function and how do they impact our natural resources?
Watershed Council is a community-based organization that focuses on taking care of rivers, creeks, waterways that drain from, you know, the high ridges down to a main tributary, so like the North Sanium. And we encompass all the lands that are in between those tributaries or those streams. Watershed councils are pretty unique to Oregon, which is just, you know, one, a super awesome thing to look at compared to other states. This started back in the 90s. The state encouraged communities to form these councils, especially by way of local government. so that all the different groups of people living in an area of the watershed could work together for conservation and not be affiliated with a government entity or enforcement or regulatory. And so that's kind of the uniqueness of our organization, is that we are non-regulatory, non-governmental, non-advocacy. We're really like a liaison from, you know, individuals, private landowners in the community, to watershed partners who might have funding opportunities to help enhance the landscape. And we are like a nonprofit. We're governed by a board of members who volunteer to direct the organization, but they also have to live and work within the watershed. Yeah, it's really special. And I guess what makes us unique is that we are an actual 501c3 nonprofit. Kind of looking at like, how do we function? We coordinate a lot of different types of projects, but really focus on natural resources. We look at fish passage. We look at erosion prevention, restoring fish habitat, as well as wildlife habitat. We've done a number of culvert replacements, large woody debris placements in the stream. We do a lot of riparian plantings, especially since the fires.
Awesome. Okay, before we move on, Marie, did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
I did. I'm not trying to be a pedant. So other states do have watershed councils, but they weren't established in the way that Oregon's are. Yeah, so like they might call themselves watershed councils, but they didn't have the really cool uplift of the government being like, we really want people to work with us, but we know that people don't want to work with us. So we need a go-between.
Yeah, that's a great point to clarify, is Oregon specifically funds capacity to build and to continue capacity for watershed councils, where watershed councils in other areas or other states don't necessarily have that funding avenue to keep, you know, operations going. They have to seek other funding sources. So, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's a great segue into my next question. How do you work between the intersection of like state and federal programs? And how does that funding work all the way from like those really big entities down to private individual landowners and residents within the watershed to pull off your mission and goals?
A lot of it, our mission is, you know, focused on creating opportunities for everyone to work together to support the health of a watershed and the communities in it. And that's super touchy-feely and great. And it involves working with so many different partners, and with really like our main focus being on private landowners. But like a lot of our uplift we're able to do because of our partnerships with counties, with soil and water conservation districts, with state and federal programs, being able to secure those funding and resources for big projects that really make like a big uplift difference. That also require us to be able to work with private landowners and like meet their needs, and especially regarding like privacy and specific land needs that play into bigger projects.
And I think, you know, to put in perspective, like if you are an interested landowner within our service area, so the watershed, and you reach out to us and you say, hey, I have concerns about weed management on our property, or I see salmon or, you know, salmonids in a creek that's nearby, I'd love to enhance this. You know, we go out there and we do site surveys and site assessments to come up with a plan to meet that landowner's goals and interests. And that gives us the opportunity to look for funding sources, either at a local level, a state level, or a federal level. And there's a lot of funding available at this time. And so what we get to do is we get to go, you know, face to face to our communities and say, if there's an area community within the basin that there are multiple landowners who are close by to each other that are kind of interested in the same thing, like everybody would like plants in the riparian area to create a bank stabilization, you know, since post-fire, or create more shading for the creek, or privacy. You know, there's these avenues of multiple benefits for that, for an individual as well as for wildlife and fish. And so, you know, we're able to leverage these little pockets of money and make it a bigger project that we can restore the lands. And you know, I love the idea, like I've heard a landowner talk about like creating a legacy for his family. Like we have a project in Linn County and his family's been there for multi-generation. Used to be a grazing, you know, cattle ranch farm. And now he's converted it to a conservation area for wildlife and beavers and turtles. And it's really, you know, important for his family, for his legacy. But it also does this wonderful enhancement of the wildlife and lands. So there is a lot of funding available for the, you know, native fish, especially Chinook and Steelhead. So we are a high priority basin for Chinook and Winter Steelhead for state agencies. So there's a lot of interest in the area, and that can benefit a lot of, you know, folks in the community too.
Well, and along the same lines as that, I always just want to give a shout out to like our landowners too, because it's this thing of like, you know, the state and the feds, we can do as much modeling as we want, but sometimes I think the model needs to be proofed by people who've lived here for forever. So Don down the road, who's been here for 30 years, like I trust that he knows or recognizes when processes are changing on his own land.
Just a quick update for those who are just joining us. I'm here with Brandon Hillbrandt, Executive Director, and Marie Huberger, the Projects and Outreach Coordinator with North Saniam Watershed Council. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming on KMUZ.org. What are some of the biggest challenges in implementing restoration, and what are some of your biggest strengths?
You know, I think it's a two-way avenue of, you know, challenges, strength is that we wear a lot of hats. You know, that includes administrative and project management and grant management and IT and marketing and data management and partner liaison. So it takes some time to navigate, and it's thrilling and exciting and just always learning something. But there's definitely, you know, avenues where it's, you know, it takes time to learn these processes and these strategies. And so this watershed council is, we have 5 board members who are voluntary, and it's myself and Marie, and we have somebody who comes in a few hours a week to help with administrative, you know, our QuickBooks. And so we're doing a lot for, is it 740 square miles of watershed. Wow. Area. So it's really amazing to get out there and go face to face, but it's also, you know, like we're always looking for people who have that knowledge if they want to join our board or come to meetings. Or there are so many people who are just, you know, in these organizations and agencies and local government and whatnot that just want to help and want to do good. And I think that's, you know, just this aha moment of, even though, you know, sometimes it feels overwhelming, like there are people out there who are just so happy to help and connect and navigate, you know, to the right person who you need to talk to about whatever your concern is. And so I love that aspect of, you know, like even if a landowner wants to reach out to us, has no interest in conservation or anything, they just, you know, have a question of, hey, they want to do this, like, who should they talk to about permitting? And we can navigate, you know, like, we're so happy to navigate that for them.
So as we were just talking about the challenges and strengths that come with running a watershed council in the North Saniam, how do you prioritize your projects? And how has that changed due to the 2020 Labor Day wildfires that impacted so much of your service area?
Taking a step back, this is a really interesting moment in time for watershed councils in general. I can be kind of a pedant, so apologies, but I just came from a fire position. And so there's this thing called the mean fire return interval. And in the history of the Western Cascades, a stand replacing fire event, kind of like we saw in 2020 and that we've continued to see, it happens around every like 100 to 166 years based on like what we know of history and pre-settlers, pre-settler fires. So a lot of watershed councils in the Western Cascades are dealing with the same problem that we are simultaneously of like, okay, well, we have these really big stand replacement fires and now what? Mm-hmm. Because it happened over 100 years ago. So what do we do? And I think it speaks to the strength of watershed councils as community-based organizations to be able to pivot in moments like these. So I'm sorry, this is kind of getting off topic, but I would just be remiss not to recognize that many councils are going through this transition now of either pivoting towards pre-fire safety measures like fuels reduction and prescribed burning, mm-hmm. or working on post-fire recovery. It's definitely been like a real learning process for our watershed council. We've been able to take on projects related to doing like early detection, rapid response surveying for invasive weeds in the Beachy Creek fire footprint, as well as like riparian replanting projects, fuel reduction projects, and community outreach events. Looking forward to where we go from here, though, there's an exciting project coming up. Brandon, did you want to
talk
about it?
So we just recently were awarded through the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which is a state agency, on a project. It's a technical assistance, so it's receiving support to develop a action plan, and the project is called the Post-Fire Watershed Resource Assessment and Prioritization Guide for Restoration. And so, it's this, we've heard, many people within the communities that we've helped the last few years in terms of immediate response and short-term recovery from the fires, that there's, this need to reevaluate the state of the basin, essentially. And we've had multiple partners, including like United States Geological Society, Forest Service, we've had Army Corps of Engineers, just a multitude of partners, watershed partners, who have been conducting post-fire research within the basin and other fires that have happened since then on a number of natural resource components, aspects. And so we have all this, all these phenomenal academic and research-based projects going on. And so this project is really looking to bring all of that information together and determine like what's the best course of action now within our watershed, especially for restoring what was like a pristine environment. We're looking at the Little North Fork Subbasin and the Brightonbush Subbasin. And those pre-fire conditions were just beautiful, like thick, groves of fir trees. We go up to Elkhorn Community and they talk about, the folks up there who live up there talk about they never, saw their neighbors, and they lived in like maybe quarter acre lots adjacent to each other and would just never see anybody. And now it's very open, very bare. Mm-hmm. And especially with like the summer heat, it's very hard to reestablish some of the native plantings that we've put in for projects. And so this guide is, this action plan is looking to see what's our best course of action and where should we prioritize, restoration efforts for the, next few years.
For like Linn County and Marion County, they've started to put together and update these community wildfire protection plans. And so these plans can help get funding for things like post-fire recovery and also pre-fire mitigation in the future. And they are just like a guide of like, here's what we need to be doing before, during, and after wildfire. Linn County is a great example. They publish theirs. They meet every 6 months to go over it. It's a living document. The partners involved fill out worksheets to kind of talk about how they're meeting their action items. And again, this is kind of from my old job, so this is more of a South San Yam, but it's just a really cool process, and it's something that's happening in Marion County too, and that I think we'll see more of.
On that note, are there any other projects that you're really excited about? I mean, that's definitely a huge one that is upcoming, and that's going to be a huge task, so congrats to you guys. But is there anything else you're particularly excited about?
current projects, we have a number of legacy projects that are kind of whittling down, which, you know, is just great to see the success. One I want to bring up is our Bear Branch Oak Savanna and Riparian Restoration Project. So located on Bear Branch Tributary, which is a model watershed tributary. So it's a legacy that was dubbed a high priority for salmonid habitat, but also exceeds water temperature standards. So this project was funded back in 2017 and have had like phenomenal just partnerships, including like U.S. Fish and Wildlife, NRCS. We've had private landowners involved, Linn County, SWCD, tribal partners, just a number of like camaraderie to look at about 200 acres of restoration of wetland prairie. This is kind of going back at, this is four generation family property. And the landowners were, you know, very hesitant at first, but saw another restoration project within the basin, the Bear Branch area, and came on board, and we successfully planted prairie plants and added a number of large woody debris in the tributary for fish. Mm-hmm. And a large focus was keeping water on the land. So, you know, this is a wildfire resiliency aspect, but also looking at improving the groundwater storage. And it's just been very cool. I've, you know, acquired this project on the tail end, but just to see, you know, landowners, I did a site tour with them and they had three generations. So the grandparents, the son and the grandson come out and we were looking at beavers, so, you know, on their property. And then, you know, we've got a number of, you know, upcoming projects that we're really excited about. One including, we just received an award from NOAA on a fish passage project. And this project is, was in collaboration with a group called the Mid Valley Rivers Connection. And so what that partnership is, that collaborative, is five watersheds, including us. So South San Yam, Kalapuya, Mary's River, Lucky Mute, and us submitted a multitude of projects within our respective basins specific to fish passage. So culvert replacements, culverts to bridges, as well as assessing dams. And so we received $8.4 million for the next 3 years to look at these projects and to improve fish passage. One is a culvert replacement in the Beachy Creek fire perimeter, so up on Panther Creek. And then we will be looking at alternatives analysis on both Waller Dam, located on Mill Creek in Salem, and then environmental assessment on Penitentiary Dam, really just looking at the holistic approach of these, these passage barriers and how, you know, what would be the best for the community and the partners involved. From ODFW, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, you know, gave us their priority list of fish barriers. And we saw that on there and talked to the owners and it seemed like it could work well. And we submitted the project and really look forward to seeing what comes out of it.
To close out, do you have any advice or even inspiration that has helped you through this work that you might like to leave for folks listening at home who want to get involved with conservation?
The best thing I think about conservation is that everybody kind of brings something different to the table. I think in conservation and honestly, just in general, it's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking like, I can't do this or my contribution is so insignificant. Like, what's the point? But I think it just takes finding like the right place to look to put your efforts. Conservation is work is made up of hundreds of little things. Even something as simple or small as not raking your leaves can be really impactful for native insects in the stream or even like in your yard, and that ultimately benefits like a broader ecosystem. And all that takes is not lifting your rake.
So, right. It's easier, actually. Yeah. It's like lazy gardening is the best.
You know, if there are folks out there that have questions, like, please feel free to reach out. Like, we're here to help support you, whatever that may be, in terms of natural resource or land management planning. You know, we have resources, we have technical experts. And if you just want to volunteer, like, please reach out. We're always looking for folks. If you want to get involved with our boards, you know, come to our board meeting. It's once a month on the third Tuesday. And, you know, we just look forward to getting to know the community more and seeing what, you know, what the history is and what people see with their own eyes. I think that's super important, is that ground-based, you know, observation. What are people seeing out there, and how can we help support, you know, future efforts? We have a website. It's northsaniam.org. If you would like to attend a board meeting, they are the third Tuesday of each month, except for December. And we host that at the Old School Community Center in Lyons. And that's roughly from 6 to 7 p.m. You can reach us at council@northsaniam.org. If you want to give us a call, happy to help at 503-930-8202.
Nice. Well, yeah, I really hope people take the opportunity to get involved, get to know you both, and hopefully see what they can do to help with the efforts.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chelsea.
I've been talking with Brandon Hilbrandt and Marie Huberger from the North Saniam Watershed Council about conservation and restoration efforts in the basin. And I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Planner for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation, and every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. If you'd like more information on this or any other conservation topic, please visit our website at marionswcd.net and our Facebook page for more follow-up information and resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, sharing this podcast with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. Feel free to listen to all of these recordings on our website too. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ to hear about the forest health updates and the spread of emerald ash borer on 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. Stay tuned for our upcoming events this winter to get involved in conservation. December 1st, we will be launching our native plant sale for online orders. Pickup will be at Bauman Farm in early March. December 6th, join us for our monthly lunchtime webinar series, First Fridays, to learn from Marissa Tiv at NRCS about urban soils and biochar. Thanks for listening, and keep up the conservation conversation.